Do you believe in homeschooling? Here's your chance to help spread the word that homeschooling is good for students. It's good for families. It's good for America.
Hey everybody, this is Heidi St. John coming to you from the Firmly Planted Homeschool Resource Center in Vancouver, Washington. I am thrilled to be a part of Schoolhouse Rocked, and I just want to encourage you guys, check it out. Let's get it funded and get it into theaters across the nation.
Go to schoolhouserocked.com/Kickstarter and join the movement to spread the word about homeschooling through movie theaters nationwide. Welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm Yvette Hampton, producer and host of the upcoming documentary Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution. On this podcast, we bring you the very best from today's homeschool leaders to help you start strong and finish well. This podcast is for you. If you have a guest or topic suggestion, email us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. I am thrilled to introduce you to my guest today, Jamie Erickson. She is the author of the blog, The Unlikely Homeschool. And Jamie, welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm super excited to have you on today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I have really enjoyed your blog. You have so much great content on there. And so I really would like our listeners to get to know you. I know some of them already do know you and are very familiar with you and your blog and just your ministry and what you do. But you have a great platform in that you encourage moms in homeschooling. So we're going to talk about that today. But first, I would love for you to introduce us to your family and who you are, what you do.
Yeah. Well, again, my name is Jamie Erickson, and I have been married for about 17 years to my college sweetheart, and we have five kids. We're actually second generation homeschoolers. My husband was homeschooled back in the 80s when it was super weird and unheard of. And we have five kids ranging in age from 6 to 14, and we've been homeschooling ever since.
Very cool. And so you're second generation homeschoolers. Did you plan to homeschool from the very beginning?
Absolutely not. I remember a conversation I had with my mother-in-law, and she, of course, had homeschooled her two boys. And I was a school teacher for many, many years, and she pulled me aside one day and asked if I would ever consider homeschooling. And I kind of laughed and said, no, that's not the road for us. And God had other plans. Those were my famous last words. My husband had a great experience homeschooling, but he just figured that because I was a school teacher, it was sort of the perfect gig for a mom, that I could go to school with my kids and I'd have summers off with them. It just seemed like all the stars were aligning that I would continue teaching and my kids would just follow suit. But God directed us elsewhere. So now we're homeschooling.
How did that happen? How did you end up changing your mind?
I had a child, and just the thought of, you know, you say all these declarations and proclamations before you have kids, and I thought I would never homeschool. But then she came along, and I stayed at home with her. I quit teaching during that time. And just the thought of having to send this little girl, 4 and 5 years old, off to school for 6 hours a day, to be honest, it just broke my heart. And I also got to see, because I was a school teacher, I was privy to a lot of the back end of education that you don't see as a parent. And I think teaching in a traditional setting ruined me for anything but homeschooling. Mm. I saw too many kids slip through the cracks. I saw too many broken family relationships because kids were sent in various different directions and they never actually saw their siblings for much of the day, if at all. You know, they'd trudge home at the end of after school activities, slam down some food, go do homework, and then go to bed. And I just couldn't do that to her. It made me sad just thinking about it.
Wow. What did you teach?
I taught mostly at a Christian school. And so each year they kind of assigned me to a different grade depending upon just the needs of the small school. So I've taught everything from preschool to fourth grade.
Okay. Okay. So you've been in the classroom, you've been with kids. And so you went into homeschooling, of course, with that whole mindset of school. Did you go into it, because this is a really big deal, especially with new first-time homeschool moms, is that they come into it and they think that they need to bring the traditional classroom into their home and replicate that. And that's one of the things that you talk a lot about, is how to help moms understand how to let go of that school mentality and do well in homeschooling. Did you come into homeschooling with that mentality of that you were going to bring that classroom in, or did you, because you had been in the classroom, have a completely different perspective on that?
I'll be honest, the first year or two, it was a real struggle as a teacher, kind of retraining myself what education is really supposed to look like. I had the herd mentality that you kind of have to have as a teacher to sort of run the day and still stay sane. So I had to do a lot of retraining on my end to just see what real learning was supposed to look like. And I had to shed off years of doing it like the old guard and, you know, along in the treadmill sort of way. And that was a struggle. And so I often actually tell a lot of moms who fear that they can't homeschool because they don't have a bunch of letters behind their name or a shiny piece of paper from the state saying that they can do it professionally, I often tell them they actually have an advantage because they have an empty blank slate. They don't have any preconceived notions of what a classroom is supposed to look like, an education is supposed to look like, and they can really make it their own right from the start.
Yeah, that's great. How do you help moms then to let go of that school mentality?
Well, I think it's a process, but one of the things I like to tell moms is to pick your one or two things that you're really great at. For me, it's I love to read aloud to my kids, and I love to really lean into their particular passions. So those are the two things that if I were to say, what am I really great at as a homeschool mom? Those are my two things. So then do those things really, really well. And in leaning hard into those couple of things that you do really well or feel like you do really well, you start to forget some of those other sort of school skills like sitting at a desk and raising your hand to go to the bathroom and all the things that we think of when we think of school, because we're so singularly minded to these one or two things that we don't put our attention in other places.
Yeah. Sure. I remember when we started homeschooling, and I love Excel and I love making pretty spreadsheets and charts and all those things, you know, making it colorful and putting little graphics and pictures and stuff. And so for the first probably 3 years or 4 years of our homeschooling, at the beginning of every year during the summertime, I would come up with our schedule, and it was really, really pretty. And it would have, you know, 8 o'clock, you know, we would have breakfast, and 8:30, we would, you know, do family devotions, and 9 o'clock, we would do math, and it had our whole day laid out. And I don't know why I continued to do this, because from the first time I started it, it never, ever, ever worked. And that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to bring what I knew to be school as I remembered it, is that you have to have all these subjects at these specific times. And I mean, I had our snack break scheduled in there. I had our lunch break. I had our recess time, and it was perfectly scheduled out, and it flopped every time. I mean, I don't know that it lasted 3 days. Yet I continue to do this every year, because then, you know, my first year I had an infant, and I thought, well, it just didn't go for well because I had a baby. And the next year, well, this one, it didn't happen because now that baby is moving into toddlerhood, and she was really, you know, high maintenance at the time. And so I thought that's what I needed to do. And it wasn't until I let go of that, okay, I can just step back, take a breath. I don't have to have the perfect schedule. And I know for some people, they really need that, and they thrive on that, and it works beautifully for them. And I think that's great. I'm not putting down anybody who does that, because like you said, you have to do what works best for you. But it wasn't until I let go of that and just said, okay, clearly this is not my personality. It's not the personality of my family. And this just does not work well for us. And I was stressing myself out day after day, week after week, because I felt like a failure. I felt like I was not doing this homeschool thing right, because it didn't match my schedule that I had up on my refrigerator that looked so pretty and colorful. And so it was more of a discouragement to me. And once I kind of gave that up and just said, you know what, we're just going to do what works best for us today. These are the subjects that I would like to work on today or this week, and worked on them as they fit into our family. That was when homeschooling really started to become more fun for me and for my daughter.
Mm-hmm. And that's when it starts to stick. Mm-hmm. You know, the National Center for the Study of Privatization and Education, it's actually a center out of Columbia University. They put out a study a couple years ago to say that out of the thousands of homeschoolers that start homeschooling each year, one third of them will drop off mm-hmm. by the end of that year and won't return to homeschooling. And if you look at the reasons why, so much of that can be pointed at this template that we lay over our schools, this school at home template that we feel like it has to be exactly like the brick and mortar situation down the street, or we can't call it school.
Right.
But the point is, we chose this way because there's something about the other way we didn't like. So why do we feel the need to follow their same map and expect a different result? We're going to get the exact same result in following their way, and we're going to get burnt out and we're going to want to quit.
Right, right. And like you said, it, you know, in a school setting, it's out of necessity. I mean, you cannot, as a teacher, go into a classroom full of, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 kids and say, well, we're just going to kind of wing it today. I think we should try to maybe, you know, hit these subjects today and let's just see what happens. And mm-hmm. let's have, you can't do that. But it's part of the beauty of homeschooling is that we can do that with our kids. We can work it into our lives. And we have become so much more aware of the fact that school is not just academics. It's not just math and reading and science and history and language arts. It's life skills. And so for our girls, we are very intentional about incorporating home economics into schooling and, you know, just life. I mean, just going out and being with other people, being involved in, you know, different activities and things like that, but also learning how to do dishes and how to do laundry and how to just do life so that when they come out of school, they're well prepared for anything that comes their way, not just academics. And so it's fun.
It's really about producing people, not a product. Mm-hmm. So if homeschool mom can just look towards the end, what is the end goal? Like, ask yourself as a homeschool mom, if I get to the end of this journey and my children are what, fill in the blank, then I feel like I will have succeeded. Start with that answer and then back up to where you are right now. What are the things that you can be doing as a homeschool mom right now to be helping to shape that person, not the product? So for us, it's we look at homeschooling as an opportunity to model character. Yes, we definitely have academics. It is school after all, so we learn things, but we also learn, like you said, life skills and character. You know, the world has enough smart people. It doesn't need another smart person. What it needs is, in my opinion, people who can show integrity, mm-hmm. who can work hard, who are honest, who are trustworthy, who are kind. And all of those things are really only ever learned through modeling. And if I just focus so much on, at the end of the day, checking all the boxes and completing all the assignments, all of those important things, or at least the things that I find important that I'm looking ahead down the way as the end game, all of those things, you know, get forgotten. And then I'm going to get to the end of their schooling and kind of be surprised that, wow, they're really smart kids, but the character is not there. So I'm starting today to towards the person at the end and deciding, what can I do in my homeschool right now this year to have that end result that I'm hoping for? And homeschooling isn't a formula, and there's no guarantee. Homeschooling isn't the salvation of anyone. It's just merely a tool, I think, that God can use to produce character. And so I'm not putting so much weight into homeschooling, but I think it is a tool and I want to use it and steward it well.
Mm, yeah, that's great. I agree so much. I love that opportunity for character development. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was Davis Carman. I heard him talking one time and he was talking about how, and if they're in the middle of, you know, some academic work that they're doing, you know, math or something, and his kids start squabbling with one another, they'll stop and just say, you know what, let's put the work aside and let's work on this relationship, because that's so much more important. You know, your relationship with your siblings, your, you know, the parent-child relationship, and ultimately taking those relationships and pointing your kids back to Jesus is what's most important, because academics are certainly important, but the relationships are what are going to get us in, you know, to where we need to go in life. And I love that you talk about goal setting, because, you know, if you're running a race, you better know where you're going. You can't run randomly, you know, and have no goal in mind. And once we know where we're going, we tell our girls, you know, we're raising adults. We're not raising children. We've got them for, you know, a short time of their lives. And through that time, we have a pretty big responsibility to teach them the ways of the Lord, and to, in everything that they do, point them back to Jesus. And so having our kids home and being able to incorporate that into everyday life is such a blessing. And it's not just a blessing, but it's a responsibility that we have as parents, because no one else is going to do that for us. You know, they may have great teachers. I mean, you taught in a private school. I'm certain that you loved your students and you truly, genuinely cared about them, I'm sure. But it's a very different relationship than, you know, for one, when you've got a classroom full of kids, the best teacher in the world cannot take the time with each individual kid to train their hearts and to work on their specific, you know, things that they need attention with. But as mom, you can, and no one loves your child like you do, because you're the parent.
I often think that homeschooling is less about informing and more about transforming. And I don't even just say that in relationship to my children. Yes, they are homeschooling is a tool that God will use to transform them. And it's in their sanctification, but also in my own life, I can't tell you how many times God has used homeschooling in my own life to sort of iron out those really rough places and shave off the hard edges. So homeschooling is just one tool he's used to just transform us in these last 12 years.
Ah, I love it. I know you talk about how to create an environment for learning that runs parallel to your child's own natural gifts and talents. How do you do that? How do you create that environment for them?
Well, I think the first thing is to kind of slough off that school at home mentality. If you're always trying to check somebody else's box, you're not going to have the time or energy to really press into the things that your kids are naturally good at. I think, secondly, you need to have this idea that the world is your classroom. And so, like right at this very moment, my daughter is volunteering and working out at a Bible camp, and she's learning so many great skills that I could never be able to teach her. I'm not equipped to teach her. I don't have the environment to teach her, but that totally counts in her education. I don't negate that at all. It's just as valuable as, you know, sitting down and learning your times tables. So I think it's seeing all of the opportunities that are put in front of you and really deciding which ones are a better fit for your kids, just based on their natural gifts and natural passions. I think it also requires you to see all of your children differently, no matter how many kids you have. I can't teach, or I can't provide the same education for any of my kids. I can provide a good education for all of them, but they all need different things. And they all have different strengths and different struggles. And so I can't cookie cutter anything. I am only one person, so I, with a finite ability to do one thing at one time, and I don't have octopus arms. One way that I can do that is just by acknowledging that some of the learning can be outsourced to other people and other places, and I don't have to feel bad about that. Homeschooling doesn't mean that I teach all the things. It really just means that I get to decide what gets taught, by whom, where and when. And so, for instance, I'm shamefully allergic to math. I, Chris and I have a blood feud and have always had. And I acknowledge that. myself that if I had to teach my kids math, they'd be still counting on their fingers when they're 25. That doesn't mean I can't provide them with a great math education. I just have to look outside of myself to do that. And I have a couple that really love math and really thrive in it. And I want to propel that and develop that in them. So part of leaning into their passions is just recognizing, you know, where I maybe fall short in a few areas and be willing to pass the buck to someone else and not feel bad about that or guilty.
Oh, sure. I agree completely. You know, that's why co-ops are oftentimes such a great resource for moms. And, you know, they're all done differently. You've got Classical Conversations that has their own whole, you know, program and method of teaching, and it works so great for some people. We did CC for many years before we were traveling. But then there's also a ton of co-ops that are led and taught by the parents. And we got to visit one when we were filming in Tennessee back in March. And we had a friend invite us to a co-op there. And it was so much fun. We'd not been to one like this. I knew that they existed, but all of the moms kind of took a subject that they were passionate about. And my girls got to go to choir. They got to go to art. They got to go to geography. I forget what the other ones were, but it was fantastic because these moms, you know, this mom who really truly enjoyed geography, she got to teach geography, and she made it fun for them, because when someone is passionate about teaching something, it's a whole lot more fun than, like you say, math, because I'm with you with the whole math thing. It's not fun for mom to teach something. No, that doesn't mean you don't teach the things that are not always enjoyable to you, but if there's someone else who's very good at it, who's very passionate about it, one of my very best friends, she is a math genius, a math whiz. She loves math. She was in math club in school. I mean, she's amazing. And so there have been times where I've called her up on the phone and I've said, you know, can you please help us work through this math issue? And she's in Colorado and she'll get on FaceTime with us and she'll teach math and she has so much fun doing it. And I'm so grateful for that she's willing to come alongside of my child or my children and say, let's do this. Let's make this fun, because math can be really fun. And I'm like, no, I hate math. Please don't make me do it. And, but it is that way. And in most parts of this country, there are co-ops and groups available. And if there's not, then we have the freedom to start one and just gather some of our friends. It doesn't have to be a big formal thing, but just, you know, maybe get a couple of other homeschool moms and say, hey, would one of you like to teach history? I'd be willing to teach science. And come together, and then you get that community, you get the socialization, you get all kinds of things that are so beneficial to the family and to homeschooling that help make it great.
And I think we're homeschooling in the very best time. We have not only co-ops, but online communities.
Oh, right.
And something as cool as YouTube. I know one of my sons loves to learn about weather and birds, and he has all these natural passions. I think God is raising him up to be a naturalist or work for the DNR someday. I don't know, but that's just not my expertise. Although I'm interested, I'm a lifelong learner. I might not be able to pour into him as much as he needs. So, man, just hopping on YouTube and clicking up a video that explains something to him in the moment, right there when we're learning about it. It's as easy as just typing it in on YouTube. So
right.
I think we're homeschooling in such a great time, and we have all the advantages available to us if we're just willing to say, it doesn't always have to be me that has to do it.
Yeah, it is a great opportunity to be able to do that. My girls through the summer have been watching the Drive Through History series. And the funny thing was, you know, I think because we've traveled so much of the country, my girls have been to 20-something odd states, and it's been really fun for them. And so I think, well, they should naturally be really interested in American history. Mm-hmm. And so the other day, my daughter said, my 12-year-old, she said, I really want to learn more about ancient history, because Drive Through History has an ancient history series. And I was like, really? Because I don't have much interest in ancient history. I really, you know, want to know more about American history. And so, but it was interesting to me. And so they've enjoyed watching those videos, and they watch them over and over again. And I think they're so fantastic. And they're just these fun, goofy little videos by David Stotts that, you know, are a great resource for us to be able to use. So we talk about your book. I know that you're working on a book right now. You have coming out in April. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Yep. It will be out in April. It comes out from Moody Publisher, and it's called Homeschool Bravely, how to squash doubt, trust God, and teach your child with confidence.
Love that. Tell me more about it.
Well, when I started blogging about 6 years ago, I began having conversations with lots of different women from all over the world, and I would get hundreds of emails throughout the year, all from these mothers around the country and around the world. And all of the emails and the messages would have a point or a topic, a question that they were wondering about. But as I pulled on the thread through a conversation and continued the conversation, I found that every single email, every single message had exactly the same underlying question or fear, should I say. All of these mothers were reaching out because in one way or another, what they were really saying to me is, I don't think I'm doing this right. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid I'm messing up my kids. I'm failing at this. That was the central theme in every single message. And I went looking for a resource to be able to give them, like a silver bullet answer, if there is such a thing, to be able to give them, to encourage them. And I was coming up dry. I wasn't finding anything. And somebody challenged me, well, Jamie, why don't you write something? And so I did. I started writing. And so this book is coming out, and it really does address those common fears that I would say every single homeschool mother has. And I've been homeschooling for 12 years. I have a teaching degree. I taught in school for many years. And even I succumb to those very same fears. And I would say they're not necessarily singular to just newbie homeschool moms. I think that's something that the enemy wants to stir up in us every single year. And it's a battle to remember what our calling is and to trust God with the outcome. Our place as a homeschool mom is just simple obedience, and God's in charge of the outcome. So if we can just learn to hand our kids over to Him and know I'm not just trusting God with their eternal forevers, I'm trusting Him with their here and nows, their everydays, this very moment in my homeschool. So that's really what the book addresses, just the common fears that all homeschool mothers face as they really carry the burden, not just of parenting, but the sheer weight of their child's education. And that can feel really, really heavy to many moms. And I just want to lift that burden for them.
It sounds like a really great book, and I think it will be very well received. You know, for those listening who may not know, they might think the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast is just a podcast about homeschooling, which the podcast is. But Schoolhouse Rocked is actually a documentary that we are in the process of producing. We've actually finished filming already for it, and we're now in post-production, and it will, right now the plan is for it to release in theaters in early summer of 2019. But that was one of the reasons why we filmed the movie, was because we wanted to answer kind of those fears that all of these moms have, because it's the same fear that I have. Like you said, I mean, I don't know that we've come across a single mom who truly has said, nope, I've got it all together. I'm doing great. My kids are flourishing. My kids are happy. They love being homeschooled. I love getting up every day and doing what I do. And, you know, we just sail through the day. That never happens. It doesn't happen with any of us. And like you said, we all come into it with these fears of, am I doing it right? As a matter of fact, I'm sure you've seen the trailer for the movie, and we'll, mm-hmm. of course, link back to it in the show notes. But in the very, very beginning of the trailer, there's a lady named Brittany Howard, and she, it's not a picture of her, but it's her voice. And she's saying, I felt like I was messing it all up. And that is exactly the message of Schoolhouse Rocked, the movie, is to just come behind those parents, just like your book, Homeschool Bravely, come behind those moms and even those dads, and just say, you're not messing it up. And if you are, mm-hmm. it's going to be okay. God is going to take care of you. He's going to fill in the gaps. He is going to equip you with everything that you need to answer this call that He's put upon you and your family, and it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And He's the great redeemer, and He's going to redeem everything about their homeschool journey, everything about their life, even the messy middle parts that you think, oh, I really messed up there. Every single mile will matter in God's hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I love that you've got this book that you're working on.
I cannot wait to see it. Yeah. I'm sure it will really answer a lot of heart cries in moms out there that are just looking for some solidarity to know that they're not alone in their fears and that, yes, it can be done and it can be done well if we just hold our hands out to God and allow Him to take it.
Oh, I agree. And I constantly need that reminder and that encouragement as well. And so I will probably have to watch the movie many times over to continue to, you know, feed that into my own soul of, you know, it's okay. God's going to, He's doing what He's doing and He's going to fill in the gaps. So, I have loved having you on. I so have enjoyed getting to know you and just knowing your heart for homeschool moms and homeschool families. I know that oftentimes there are dads, I think it's kind of surprising sometimes when we hear of, you know, these homeschool dads who are going onto these blogs and reading articles and listening to podcasts and stuff. And typically it's the mom who's doing the homeschooling herself as far as the academics, but it really is a family ministry that both mom and dad are involved in. And so I'm very grateful for your ministry and your blog. Where can people find you?
Well, I'm shamefully easy to find online. You can find my blog at theunlikelyhomeschool.com, or you can find me on Facebook and Instagram under The Unlikely Homeschool. And I would love to have any moms who just need a hug slung around the neck or to link arms with somebody. We have a great community of moms on social media that would love to just circle the wagons around any mom that needs a place to belong.
That's great. We will definitely link back again in the show notes to where people can find you. And then you have a couple of things on your website that you give away. You've got the one, probably my favorite that you have on there that I have it printed and in a folder, is called the Top 10 No Twaddle Printable Book List for Every Age. And I love that you give that resource. Book lists are so great, especially, you know, the area that we live in has this massive library system. And so you can go on and you can reserve books and then just go to the library and pick them up. I do not enjoy going to the library. It drives me crazy to just randomly look for good books. So your book list is excellent. And I love being able to take that and then just reserve the books that I want and go pick them up when they're ready. But you also have on there what's called 100 Manners to Teach Your Kids. And you've offered to give away 10 of those that people can, it's a digital download. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're giving away 10 of those and we'll link back to that contest as well. And what else do you, I think you have a couple of other things on there.
Well, I have some task cards for anybody who's interested. It's kind of just a way, it's a system that I've designed to put your homeschool day on autopilot. It's similar to the workbox system, but let's face it, not everybody has the space for a bunch of random stacks of boxes in their home. So if you're familiar with that system, you can just think of it as just a paper version of that to get your kids motivated to complete their tasks. Mm-hmm. It's sort of the homeschool motivator sans nagging. There's no nagging required. So any listeners who would like to can go to my blog and download that. It's free to download and use throughout your year to just motivate your kids to get their stuff done.
Very cool. Well, thank you. I hope our listeners will check out your website and your social media platforms, everything, because I, like you said, you're all over the place. So thank you so much for coming on with me today. I have so enjoyed our conversation, and I know that it will be a blessing to those listening, and I appreciate you just being part of this Schoolhouse Rocked team that we have, who's helping get word out about the movie and just helping to support it. And we, in turn, are really excited to be partnering with you and the Unlikely Homeschool so that we can together really encourage the homeschool movement and really encourage parents to do it well.
This has been great, Yvette. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
I hope you were encouraged by this conversation with Jamie. Please visit her at theunlikelyhomeschool.com and check out the show notes to see how you can get a copy of the Top 10 No Twaddle Printable Book List for Every Age. And also, you can enter to win a digital copy of 100 Manners to Teach Your Kids. For great homeschooling videos, articles, giveaways, and more, check out members.schoolhouserocked.com and use the coupon code PODCAST10 to save 10% on any paid Backstage Pass membership. Backstage Pass members get exclusive access to full interviews from the cast of Schoolhouse Rocked and so much more. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave a review. Until next time, I'm Yvette Hampton, wishing you the joys of community and the wisdom to teach and learn. God bless.